are cordially invited to attend the wedding of Sarah Society and Seymour Snobness on such a date, at such a time, in such a place, RSVP. You ever gotten an invitation that had RSVP on it? You get these fancy scrolled invitations and weddings or some other event, some other big event in a person's life, and they're important. I'm not putting those down. But you get an invitation, and it says RSVP. You know what that stands for? Well, it's a French phrase, and it's an abbreviation of that French phrase, répondez, s'il vous plaît, which simply means, please reply. That's all that means. Please reply. And you are expected to respond to the invitation. You are expected to respond. Either you will accept it and say, yes, we will be there, or you will reject it. No, I'm sorry, we can't be there. And if you choose not to respond, that means you won't be there. That's what that means. To not respond at all means I will not be coming. In John 4, Jesus met a Samaritan woman coming into the well to draw her water. And they interacted, and she discovered Jesus even told her, I that speak to you am he. Because she said, you know, we know that Christ is coming, the Messiah, Christ is coming, and he's going to teach us, tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak to you am he. So she leaves her water pot and goes back to the city. And it says in John 4, verse 28 and 29, the woman that left her water pot went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And that's really at the heart of it all. Come and see. Come and see. I don't know if you've noticed that the songs we sang this morning have to do with coming to Jesus. They have to do with following Jesus. They have to do with seeing for yourself that he is indeed who he says he is. And so Jesus invites us to come to him. The woman says to these men of Samaria, don't just take my word for it, come and see. Come and see. Why did God go to all this effort? With all the prophecies and the planning and the preparing for the fullness of time for him to send his son from Galatians 4:4. Why did God do it? Well, to offer life to dead people. To offer life to dead men and women. That's why. But there's a catch. There's always a catch, isn't there? Isn't that something? There's always, even with God, there's a catch. Yes, there is. Don't kid yourself into thinking that there's a free lunch. There is no free lunch. There is a catch. If something sounds too good to be true, get that phone call. Hello, Johnny Good. We've just wanted to remind you of this vacation plan that you've made 20 years ago down here in Florida, and we wanted to see if you were ready to come down for this. And Johnny says, I didn't make any plans for that. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. We have your records here where you made plans to come down here and see us and spend about $50,000 on a $40,000 investment. You get those phone calls, those invitations, and they are useless. They are worthless. They are a joke. It's a scam. If it sounds too good to be true, yeah. Well, there is a catch with God, too. There is a catch. He offers life, but there's a catch. God will never force salvation on anyone. He will not cause you to believe and to obey him like the demons would take possession of a man and cause him to act in a certain way. God will never do that. Never has, never will. And neither does the Holy Spirit. Let's have a verse to show that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 30 through 33, note this. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, talking about in the worship assembly, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. the Holy Spirit, even in the first century, would not take over a person's will and make them say what he wanted them to say. He would not take over their will. They had the ability to shut their mouth. They had the ability to be quiet and to wait their turn. They had that ability. And so, the Holy Spirit never makes us do a certain thing. This goes against the grain with some religious groups and what they teach. They were slain by the Spirit, slain in the Spirit. Or the Spirit made them speak in this language or that language and made them do what they did. The Spirit never made anybody do anything. God doesn't work like that. He does not work like that. So, with that in mind, that God does not force or manipulate us into obeying Him, He does encourage us and He invites us to partake of eternal life. God invites us to come and see. And that's what Jesus says to us. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, one of the most beloved passages in the New Testament, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know what Jesus is saying? Take a chance. Come and learn of me. You got to grow. You got to learn about me. But come and learn of me, and you'll see it's not so tough to come to Jesus in trusting faith. Trust Him. Take a chance on Him. You'll see. It'll pan out. You'll see. It will be a good thing to come to Jesus. And now this is a universal invitation. It's extended to everyone, not just to a few. Not just to Jews, not just to Americans. It is extended to everyone. In Revelation 22, 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." I love Romans 12, 1 and 2 here. In this context, the meaning in the message is so powerful. Romans 12, 1 and 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say your spiritual worship. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Don't be like the world. You present your body a living sacrifice. You change the way you think. You change the way you see things. You change your point of view. You change. I present and I change. How? By being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And this way, when I do this, I prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I put it to the test and I see that it's true. It's absolutely true. God's way is the only way that works. People try, they try to find an escape. And they try to find satisfaction. And they try to find peace of mind. And they try to find purpose in life in so many things, don't they? They do. And some of us are doing the same things. We do believe in God and we are Christians, but yet we're still looking for peace of mind, and we're still looking for satisfaction, and we're looking in all the wrong places. If we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, and we change the way we see things, we change our point of view to be like that of God's, we will prove to ourselves that God's way is the best way, the only way that works. Jesus says, "Come unto me." If you will come to Jesus, you'll find more than enough evidence to know the will of God, and you'll find the help you need to do the will of God. What you do with Jesus is your decision. But please don't refuse His invitation to investigate Him. Come and see for yourself. He gives another invitation. It's a different one. "Come after me." Don't just come to me, come after me. Follow me. And the song we sang just a moment ago, Follow Me. To come after Jesus means to follow Him. How many times as you read through the life of Jesus in the Gospels do you find Him saying to people, follow Me, follow Me? He said to the disciples, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Me. He says to the rich young ruler, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow Me. Follow Me. You go where I go. Wherever Jesus leads, we will follow. Paul says, follow after Me as I follow after Christ. So, I mean, we have so many references to coming after Me. Jesus says to His disciples in Matthew 16, 24 through 27, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, or whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? The rich man would have given everything. He's lifting up his eyes in torment. He only has the nerve to ask for a drop of water. Man, I want a fire hose. But he asked for a drop of water. What are you willing to give? Man, I would give everything I ever had to get out of that. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His angels, or glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works. So come after Me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. This is a New Testament example, word picture of repentance. Deny yourself. No longer going to live that way. No longer going to look at things that way. Yes, life is unfair, but so what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm going to follow Jesus. And so that's what repentance is turning away from the sin, committing yourself to following God, and then following God. It is a commitment to change. In the military, it's an about face. In mathematics, it's a 180-degree turn. But it is simply this: deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. That's what repentance is. And that's what Jesus is calling for people to do when He says to follow after Me. He's saying, turn away from the wrong and follow Me as we do the right. It's a commitment to a life with Him. Isaiah 1, 18 through 20, listen to the warning, the admonition and the warning in Isaiah 1, 18 through 20. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Well, we've used that phrase. I've had that on business cards, and we've used that verse as we try to have Bible studies with people who don't believe the same way we do. And so we sit down and explore the Scriptures together. And so we use that verse. But this God is saying to Israel, come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Whew. That's a powerful statement. And folks, this came from God. This is God's own words. If you follow Me, if you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. God will bless you. But if you refuse and you rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. So Jesus says, come after Me. You have to follow Him. You have to go where He leads. If where He leads you takes you into dark, scary places, go trusting Him. If where He leads you takes you to fame and glory, go trusting Him. If where He leads you takes you into the pits of poverty and the depths of despair, go and trust Him. And if where He leads you takes you to riches and fame and glory, go and trust in Him. Because the mistake that rich people make, the mistake that successful people make, the mistake that many old people make, is they begin to trust in something other than Jesus. Don't do that. So regardless of where Jesus leads you, follow Him. trusting Him. Be obedient to Him. Be faithful to Him. Do it. Come after me. You walk worthy of the calling. You've been called in Ephesians 4:1, so walk worthy of that calling. We are no longer our own. We've been bought with a price. The price is the precious blood of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. And though the price of discipleship is high, the prize of salvation is worth it. It's worth it. And that brings us to our third and final invitation this morning. Jesus says, come to me. And then He says, come after me. And if we will do this and we live our lives like this, then we're going to hear these words, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25, verse 34. Come and enjoy the reward for faithfulness. Not a reward for victory, not a reward for success, not a reward for getting all your religious ducks in a row. You're never going to accomplish that. You never. But it is a reward for faithfulness, and you will receive that reward. John 14, 1 through 3, Jesus is preparing a place for us. But through verse 6, we find something significant. I want to read all six verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some translations say many rooms. I don't care. Do you? I don't care if it's a whole mansion. I don't care if it's a room. I just want to be there, don't you? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Y'all, I changed the sheets Friday night on the bed. Faye was busy. It got up to midnight. I was ready to go to bed. But I remembered Faye earlier saying, I want to change the sheets. I want to change the sheets on the bed. Okay, fine. So she's down there working, and I went in there, and I changed the sheets. And I made the bed so nice, had that thing so tight, you could have dropped a quarter on it, and it would bounce and put a dent in the ceiling. I mean, had that thing made just right. It was high and tight. It was Marine Corps quality. Had that bed made just right. Old pillows all fluffed and everything. I prepared a place for her. And she was just saying, I can't believe you did that. You remembered? Bragging on me? No. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way. If you'll allow me the liberty of paraphrasing this, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am God. Folks, that's what Jesus is saying. He is the only way we've got. He's preparing a place for us. We need to come to Him. And we need to come after Him so that one day He says to us, come home. Come home. Revelation 22, or chapters 21 and 22 is a description of heaven. You might recall the lesson we had on heaven the last Sunday in November. This description of what heaven would be like. In John 6, 37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no way cast out. This wonderful promise is that if we listen to Jesus, accept His invitation to come to Him, and then to come after Him, to follow Him in faithfulness, then we are promised a home with Him. Now, what will you do with these invitations that Jesus has made? I know that this last invitation would be accepted by everybody if it were offered to everybody, but it's not offered to everyone, is it? This last invitation is only offered to God's children, God's faithful children. That's who gets this invitation. Nobody else gets it. It's exclusive. But I guarantee you, every person who's about to die would accept that invitation gladly if it was offered. But the truth of the matter is, unless you accept his first invitation to come to him and his second invitation to come after him, you will not hear his third invitation. Come home. Come, the blessed of my Father. Now, let's end this story where we began this morning, back in John 1. Look at verses 42 through 46. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" Evidently, Nazareth wasn't really a great, didn't have a great reputation, okay? "Can any good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see. Come and see." And that's the point of the Lord's invitation. Come and see. Jesus says, "Come to me." He says, "Come after me." And if you'll do that, you'll live for him, be faithful to him, then he'll say, "Come home," on that last day. As you consider your life and your condition, will you come and see? If you're not a Christian, will you come and see? Give it a chance. Look hard, look closely at Jesus and what he offers. Come to him so you can have life. And if you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful to your Lord, why don't you come back to him? Take up your cross and follow him again. Repent, turn away from the wrong, and commit yourself to doing the right. Come and see that the Lord will bless you and take care of you. And finally, on that day, you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of thy Lord."